Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour two, Felger and Maz here from our TD Garden Star Market broadcast studios in advance of Bruins-Leafs Game 7. Have the call here tonight on your exclusive home for the Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Beers and Surratt with the call shortly after 7 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 6:30. Felger and Maz, as we like to do on these days, will take you right up until 6:30. No baseball reporters. We'll give you extra Bruins coverage going to 6:30. So an extra bonus half hour of Felger and Maz today here on the program. Before I go back to your phones, Maz, let me ask you this. If the series ended right now, who's the series MVP?
I go Frederik Andersen. I just think, again, he's been the one player who's been consistently good throughout the series. So the other candidates, you know, would be Marchand, Matthews, given that it's tied. But if you're asking me who's been the best player in the series, I think it's been Frederik Andersen.
Well, what if they win it 5-4 then, and Matthews has another goal? I think it's Matthews. I don't know. Anderson's been good, not great. I think he was better earlier in the series. He's been more what I expected these last few games.
So Anderson's my guy as well. Who's the biggest goat? Who's been the biggest disappointment in the series?
Pastrnak.
Oh, he's up there. I mean,
my vote.
Yeah, I mean, again, I come back to Tavares too. I'm sorry. Like, I know I keep giving you the same answers, and that's why, like, I semi-apologize for it. John Tavares is a -4 in the series. He's the highest paid player on the ice. There isn't anybody making more money than that guy. If I'm right, I don't think anyone's in eight digits. He's up there. Like, I go Tavares. I think Tavares, he hasn't been awful. I understand the whole, you know, neutralization with Bergeron thing. But he's not giving him anything, really, at the offensive end.
And
zero.
If Toronto loses tonight, Marner's been a nothing for, like, three straight games. I think you could make a case for him.
He's been silent the last couple games. No question about it. Pastrnak would be mine. He's strangely sucked, in my opinion, in this series, and especially recently, the last couple, bizarrely so. So that's someone I'm really focusing on tonight because I haven't gotten a ton out of him. He's put up some points. It was really in that one game, though. And again, just going back to the Game 7 experience thing, how important is it? And the Bruins have a lot of experience in Game 7, although it's sort of mediocre experience. In other words, these guys are all 500. Jimmy just started to pick through it for me, and I said, you know, Patrice Bergeron is 5-4. I'm sorry, 5-5 in Bergeron's 10 game sevens. He's only 5-5. And I said, is that a good record or a bad record? Or, you know, I bet you if you looked at some other guys around the league, is that pretty common? It's because these games are coin flips. I said, what would Jonathan Toews' record in game sevens be? Because I consider Toews to be one of the great winners in the league. Jonathan Toews in 5 career game sevens is 2-3. I asked for Chara. Chara has had 12 career game sevens. This will be his 13th. He's 5-7 underwater. Jonathan Toews has played in only one game seven. He lost it. Had no points. Was a -1 on 25 shifts in the one time he played in a game seven. So these games are freaking coin flips, man. Whether you have the experience or you don't, or you're considered a winner or a loser or whatever, I bet you most guys are right around 500.
I mean, that's what I think. Again, it sort of feels that way instinctively that they can be a total toss-up, these games. And you said Marchand earlier, 5-2, and if you think about it, Marchand broke in 2011, mm-hmm. right? So they won 3 game sevens that year, and then he's beaten the Maple Leafs twice. So there you go. There are his five. I mean, you take out the cup year, he's 2-2. And, you know, when I say take out the cup year, you know, it's hard to do. But, you know, that was a special run, and he was a rookie, so he was around for that.
So whatever you think this is worth, and Maz thinks it's overrated, and he might be right, but for whatever you think it's worth, the checkmark is definitely in the Bruins' favor. They've had guys who have won the cup. Toronto has won. It was Muzzin. You know Muzzin's a minus six in the series?
Yes.
For all the credit we give him, and I think he's done a good job of helping to neutralize that Bergeron line, he's minus six.
I know it.
Kind of snuck up on me, that one. But anyway.
And meanwhile, Hainsey's a plus six.
Weird. And I think Hainsey sucks. But either way, the Bruins have all this. You know, they got cup winners. They've got guys with oodles of Game 7 experience and all of it. If it's worth anything, that's definitely in your favor. All right, back to your phones. As promised, Nate in New Bedford, lead us off this hour. What do you got?
Yeah, I want to talk about Rask, but just to touch up on that John Tavares thought you guys had earlier, this is either his eighth or ninth playoff season, and he's only made it out of the first round with the Islanders once, and it was against the Florida Panthers a couple of years ago, so that doesn't even really count. And the Islanders, the first year he's gone, out one of the best teams in the league, in my opinion, in the Penguins. So how bad will John Tavares feel if he loses Game 7 this year with the Leafs? If I want to give him credit for anything, it's maybe that he's taken the pressure off Matthews to have to try to neutralize that Bergeron line. It's freed up Matthews a little bit. But back to Tuukka Rask, normally, like, I'm one of the biggest advocates for him to, like, how good he is, and he was one of the elite goaltenders. But this year I just start to really get, like, fed up with that whole idea, especially seeing how good Halak's been all season. Like, Tuukka in Game 7, as you guys mentioned, one out of every five shots on net goes in against him pretty much. That's ridiculous. When you think back to 2011, Tim Thomas pretty much had so many big saves. In that Game 7, he makes that one ridiculous save to put the Bruins ahead in the Game 7. I need Tuukka to make something crazy, like show some emotion this year. I don't know, do something crazy so the Bruins can actually win.
Well, how about just play well in a Game 7? You can make the case he's never played well in Game 7. Those numbers are scary.
Terrifying.
He's had four career Game 7s. He's 2-2. With a 3.72 goals against and an .845 save percentage, and his two wins were against this Toronto team that crapped themselves, and they were high-scoring games. It's not like he shut anybody down in those games to get those wins, which is scary. But then again, I think he's had a good series. I'm not frustrated with Rask this year. I think Rask has done the job. I think he's played, for the most part, winning hockey. And so I feel like I'm a little more confident in him than I normally would be. The Tavares points that he made are great. You know, does Tavares go? So he only made it out of the first round once with the Islanders. He's one of the best players in the league. If he loses here, now again, he's surrounded by a good team. Does he start to sort of lapse into that Joe Thornton category and that category of the guy that can't win when it matters?
I mean, maybe a little bit. Again, I was just looking it up. There was one year where he played 11 games with the Islanders. So again, that feels like the second round, right? I didn't go through, but
yeah.
I can't imagine that that got him into the third round. There's just no way. So, you know, he's been a point-a-game a guy, basically.
In the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, his career, 26 points in 30 games, and yet he's a minus nine. So, but the point he made about Matthews being freed up, I think is absolutely true. I think this was the whole problem with them last year.
That's another good point. Absolutely.
Right? Is that, you know, Matthews was being asked to be that guy last year. He wasn't ready for it, clearly. I don't know if he really is the game for it.
But Matthews hasn't had to go against Bergeron.
Exactly. So what do? They go out and get someone else to match up to free Matthews up as a second line guy, basically, and he's lighting it up. So you look at, I think you have to look at them as a tandem.
We got Bill in Rhode Island. What do you got for us, Bill?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
Just wanted to, you know, I'm just concerned about the way the NHL is marketing the guys on Toronto versus, you know, we're not seeing any of these guys on the Bruins be sort of the face of the league. You've got Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner doing iPhone commercials up there, you know, and I'm not trying to say the officiating is going to be something that's going to, you know, impact the game, but, you know, who does the NHL really want going forward, right? These are their stars, and they want to go ahead and showcase these guys. So this has got me a little bit concerned tonight with, you know, some of the little things, because this series has really been so even throughout the six games thus far. You know,
Bill,
little things like that may cause us a problem.
Okay, don't stop with the tinfoil hat. The Bruins are a hugely important team to the NHL. When the Bruins are in and go deep, they make money. The high local TV ratings bring up the whole national TV rating. The NBC is happy. Everybody's happy when the Bruins go deep, just like Philly or any of the Pittsburgh or any of the big U.S. markets, Pittsburgh a little less so. But Chicago, Philly, Boston, New York.
The Rangers, yeah.
Pants off at the league office and NBC. So they want the Bruins. Now, if there's any Canadian team that they want, it's Toronto. But believe me, if they'd rather have Columbus than Toronto go deep. They'd rather have freaking Dallas or Florida go deep than Toronto. It's just is, because when you go into a Stanley Cup situation in a national broadcast, you don't get credit for Canadian ratings. So NBC only gets one market out of the game. So trust me, they have no bias against you.
What's the last Canadian Cup team? Montreal in 93?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so what, they haven't rigged it since then?
Would you stop with this?
And have you not seen the Pastrnak Duncan commercial? That's not just local. That's national, by the way.
It is. So the big U.S. markets, they always want those teams to do well. Now, if there's any Canadian team that's important to them, it's Toronto. That's number one for a Canadian market. But that pales to the U.S. markets. Now, on Matthews and Marner, one guy was drafted first overall. The other guy was drafted fourth overall. What, Matthews an American. I mean, it's like those are face of the league kind of guys, and you're jealous that they're promoting them? Would you stop being such a baby?
Oh, no, no, no. They're getting Patriots fan disease. Is
God.
What the that's the kind of thing a Bruins fan.
That's who they should be promoting.
Or a Patriots fan would bitch about.
Top five pick franchise players in one of the biggest, most important markets in the entire league. And you're jealous that they're getting commercials?
Goodell's got it out for the Bruins.
God.
Yeah, I blame Bettman.
Grow up. But thank you. I don't mean to dump on the call or anything, but that's just silly. They should be promoting those guys. Question, who scares you the most tonight on the Maple Leafs if you're a Bruins fan? Who scares you the most? And I'll ask you the same thing if you're a Leafs fan. Who scares you the most going into tonight's game? We'll answer those questions right after these words.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Mads. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Up ahead now to Patrice Bergeron. Over the blue line to the right circle. Bergeron driving wide. Takes it in behind the net. Out of the left wing circle. Drops it off. For Sagan to the bottom of the circle, spins and puts it on net, a stick save, Reimer. Boychuk right side, a wrist shot blocked.
Reuniting Sagan with this line here.
There's Bergeron, a one-timer, save Reimer. Rebound loose at the top of the crease. Wrist shot, score! Bergeron! Bergeron! In game seven, and the Bruins win the series!
All right, I asked a question. Who scares you the most tonight? If you're a Leafs fan, I'll just start. Who scares me the most? That guy. Who scored that goal, Jimmy?
Bergeron.
Bergeron's the guy that would scare me.
Well, with good reason. I mean, you just know he's going to show up, right?
He hasn't, you know, he's been kind of silent. Has no even strength goals on the series. I think he's got one even strength assist the entire series. He's the guy. He's the guy. He's their Hall of Famer, and the number's going up in the rafters, and he won your cup, you know, 6 years ago, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I just feel, or six, 8 years ago now, and it's like, that's a guy, if I'm the Leafs, in the back of my mind, Bergeron's going to pork me tonight. That's what I'm thinking.
So when you initially asked the question, who scares you the most? Like, you know,
You meant it in a negative way?
Or yeah. So my answer is Rask. Yeah, yeah. Like, I said Rask. But if you make me, you know, if you make me pick someone on the Leafs from the Bruins side.
If you're a Leafs fan, who scares you tonight on Boston?
See, I say Marchand.
Yeah, me too.
Marchand would scare the crap out of me. I just, he's got a knack. Cause
well, he's woke up, too, in this series, finally.
And no matter what kind of game it is, he can play it. Right? You want to play a speed skill game? He can play it. You want to play a gritty, you know, puck battle kind of game? He can play it. Shorthanded, he's out there. Power play, he's out there. Like, I just think, and the caller who said earlier, and I double-checked it, and he's right, Marchand has scored in 21 career playoff games. The Bruins are 20-1.
Wow.
When he scores in the playoffs.
Do you know what the one is, by chance?
They lost to the Capitals. Yeah, it was a Capitals defeat. And so, you know, that is, like, ridiculous. And so I just think he's a hard guy to play against. He's a pain in the ass. There's skill. He can shoot. He can skate. He battles for pucks. He's not big, but he's strong. Like, he would scare the crap out of me if I'm the Leafs.
And that first goal of his in Game 6, too, that was so refreshing because they were so cute and stupid. We're looking for the extra pass in Game 5. He just put it on the net, and he knows. You know, and that's – he's not going to try to get too cute, trying to look for the extra pass, do something else, try to dangle, just put it on the net.
Okay. If you are a Bruins fan, a Bruins follower, who scares you on Toronto tonight?
So right now it's Matthews. I just think, and Matthews is hot now, and there's confidence there. But I told you, if I'm going to be consistent, the guy to me that feels like he's ready to pop is Tavares. It felt like the opportunities for him got better at the end of the last game. You know, I haven't seen him quit, like, or lack of fight there. In fact, I feel him sort of starting to bust out of it. So, I mean, again, Matthews is hotter. But Tavares is due. He is due, and he's a good player.
It's Matthews. He's all grows up. I mean, this moment, this whole series proved to be too big for him last year. Now he's lived up to the hype, and he's been kind of disruptive defensively, too. I think he's been great.
Mitch Marner, a little too quiet. A little too quiet, way too good to be this silent for this long. So that would scare me if I'm on the Bruins side. All your thoughts on all of this. We continue with you, as promised. Danny in New Bedford, what do you got?
With these whiny Bruins fans complaining like they're the Celtics fans and the Patriots fans.
And what? Yes. What about them?
Well, the fake goalie interference call that Rask got beat because the defense couldn't close out. Just tic-tac calls that they want to get. It's ridiculous. They need to score.
I'm with you, Danny. Okay, I'm just going to stop you because you weirdly stopped in the middle. Bruins fans, you're better than this. This is why the Green Teamers are the Green Teamers and Patriots fans are insufferable. Okay? Don't be them. You're better than this. Don't whine about the officials. Don't worry about league bias because of Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're better than that. Okay? So let's just not be that.
Yeah, I don't feel like the officiating has really been a problem in this series.
I think it gave you a huge break in game five here in Boston. I thought that officiating was, you know, you didn't get the goalie interference call, but those two power play calls were garbage. You bought those.
I mean, I don't really have any issue with the officiating in this series at all. I think they've called it pretty even. It's been pretty fair. And, again, the goalie interference, Bruins fans are going to bitch about. To me, that was not – again, if the Bruins score that goal, I don't want to call back.
Stephanie in the car. What do you got, Steph?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to hear what you guys think about the fourth line. We say how much we rely on Bergeron and Krejci coming up, but I think we need to look at the fourth line, too. This series, they've made me nervous every time they're on the ice, which is unsettling considering how much we rely on them all year.
Okay, Steph, thanks for the call. You got something on that?
Well, I would say the whole series up until the last one, the last game, because Corrali came back.
So it's not really the fourth line. It's a hybrid thing that they're doing. Wagner's not going to go back in the lineup tonight. So that fourth line they had, Achari, Corrali, Wagner, hasn't really been together all playoffs, and it won't be tonight. So when you say fourth line, he really mixed and matched at the end of the game. He threw up Corrali with Charlie Coyle, and you know, Corrali's really that X factor, that secret weapon on the fourth line that's deployed in those defensive situations or energy situations. And I think the quote-unquote fourth line thing is out the window tonight. He's going to mix and match those bottom two lines.
I just think Corrali makes a difference. It gives the Bruins depth and speed that they didn't have in the early part of the series because they were getting nothing. Like, if Coyle, Bergeron, or Krejci wasn't on the ice, forget it. Like, it was over. Now at least I feel, and I understand Corrali's moving around. He was good in that last game. He only needed one game to get up to speed. That's pretty good.
An X factor is that Toronto fourth line. They've been a factor. And, you know, a lot of it is your stupidity. But, you know, Brown and Moore, who's on that line, like those guys.
Tyler Rennes is with that group too, isn't he?
So he has been since I think he took Kadri's spot. I don't know if he skates with those guys, but I mean, you look at some of those. I'm just, you know, looking it up for you here. I don't know. Is Dermott on? Well, he's a defenseman.
See, I think Ennis sucks, but the other two guys are good. Ennis is the guy that used to be with the Sabres, right?
Yes, that's right.
So, like, to me, he doesn't do it for me. The other two guys have been a pain in the ass, though.
And not that their numbers are huge, but they're all plus players. Trevor Moore just has that goal. Connor Brown has an assist, but they're all on the plus side. And I don't know. I just feel like they've been a little bit more noteworthy than your fourth group. But since Crowley's been back, it's different. Luke and Bridgewater. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, guys. You know, as a Bruins fan, the player that scares me over even Matthews is Anderson. You know, he's been playing tremendous, and any time that we've had any type of flair, he's put it out. And so I think there's a lot of pressure on both these goalies for different reasons. So I think, you know, aside from a high-scoring game, if this is a low-scoring, I'm expecting a pitcher's duel, hopefully. And then that first goal is really going to sway the balance of the pressure, I think, in that situation. And, you know, I'm feeling actually positive. I know Tuukka has a terrible record, but I'm expecting him to, you know, hold up. But I think that first goal is really going to determine where the pressure really flows.
Well, I mean, Anderson, we said before. Jimmy, did you happen to look up Frederik Anderson in Game 7? Can we get that one? You have a second? Just take your time. But I'd be interested. You know, we have last year, obviously. I don't know how many other situations he was in. What was I going to say about what was his first point? I can't put two things in my head at one time. It's freaking so painful.
I forget, too.
What the F did he say?
Oh, the first goal?
Not just that. Whatever. I can't.
Oh, he said he thought Anderson was the guy that scares him because he's been so good.
Series MVP so far.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And is Frederik Anderson.
I also feel like, you know, if we can say it this way, and I understand that the quality of his saves has been better than Rask's. Like, there have been some that you just went, oh, my God, how did they not score there? And so I feel like there is the potential in a game like this for the frustration to build if he starts, you know, picking pucks out of the net, for crying out loud, like that one he made on Bergeron the other night. That starts to happen. Or, you know, he had one earlier in the series on Marchand right there at the mouth of the goal. So, those are ones that leave you shaking your head a little bit.
Meanwhile, Matt and Weymouth, go.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got 2 points I want your opinion on. The first one being, with Rask, you know, being as bad as he's been in Game 7 and Halak being more than a quality, you know, backup, what are the odds that the Cassidy starts Halak, sees how he does, and also,
zero.
You know, and then I was like, okay. And then how long do you think Tuukka's leash is? You know, if he
long, I'm just going to cut you. I'm sorry. There's zero chance of starting Halak tonight. Rask has played well this series, and I'm less worried about him than I would be in the past. But then again, when I look at those career Game 7 numbers, I have pause.
What if it's 3-1 after one?
Not unless there's a couple howlers. I mean, he gets. You know, are you going to pull him on one bad goal?
No. What about two?
Okay. Now we're starting to talk. So maybe, but you know, I think we sort of had that on the table to start the series. How long is Tuukka Rask's leash? Cassidy's been hard on him. Cassidy's not afraid to make changes, and so we've sort of been waiting for this shoe to drop for Rask to get yanked, and it really never came close. I told you, there's been one point in this series where I said, I want Cassidy to walk down to the end of the bench and tell Halak to start stretching. Don't go in, but start, you know, locate your helmet. And that was after the Austin Matthews goal that made it 2-2 in game 4 up in Toronto, okay, where it glanced off Tuukka's chest plate, if you will. That was the one goal I said, okay, let's start to look at this. And that at no point before or since have I thought that about Rask. Then again, his Game 7 numbers are his Game 7 numbers. I'll say this about Rask, the stakes for Rask, if Rask gags himself tonight, doesn't just lose, but plays poorly and has another Game 7 stinker, I think they trade him. Like, I think he could be done as a Bruin. And I can go look up his contract. I think the no-movement stuff starts to lessen, and he's only got a couple years left, and now he's had a full no-movement. It becomes a limited no-movement, and then that goes away. Like, in the next couple years, he becomes much more tradable. And if he poops himself, I think he's the one guy that you could say they move on from. You know, anyone else has a bad game, They're not moving on from Pastrnak after a bad series. They're not moving. You know, I think they should look at Krejci, but I just don't know. He had a good year and a really good playoff. So Krejci's not someone that I think about.
What if Krug's a disaster?
Okay, I definitely.
Yeah, so Krug's on my list.
I mean, he's been on my list all year, but I think they love him.
Yeah, it feels that way, but I still go back to Krug and Grizzlick, the two of them. I just don't know if you can have them both. So anyway, but keep going.
But Rask, you know, I said earlier, is Rask sort of, is he off the hook because he's played so well this series? And you both said, nope. If he craps himself tonight, it's all back on the table. And it is.
I did look up Frederik Andersen in Game 7s if you want it.
Please, I want it.
0-3.
This is the the hazmat crew is now on standby here tonight at the TD Garden. Thoughts and prayers to the cleanup crew here at the hazmat, here at the TD Garden.
Seriously, they're going to give every patron in the building tonight a lead suit.
It's going to be fecal matter spread, just ladled across this ice surface tonight. You think the ice was bad to begin with? Wait till Rask and Andersen get done crapping themselves tonight.
So I can't do the goals against exactly yet, because, you know, he didn't play the full 60 minutes in some of these games. But in three games, he's 0-3, and he's given up 13 goals.
Jimmy just actually sent it. The goals against is 4-5-1.
And the save percentage, if Jimmy has the same number, is 857.
840 is what Jimmy has here.
Okay. Craptastic. This, tonight, is a crapatorium.
Oh, yeah.
This is...
Final score from the Garden. Bruins 9, Leafs 8. We'll be back with the postgame.
Well, this is what happened the last time. I mean, last year, it was a high-scoring game.
Okay, here's an update from Murray. Then we have to finish up our Felgram-ass big board tossing. We'll clean up the linebackers coming back quickly and then get back to your Bruins thoughts. We've got Toronto Ryder coming by in the 4 o'clock hour, and Jack Edwards is going to stop by at the end of the 4 o'clock hour. So a lot more Bruins talk coming your way right after the marker toss after the...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Felger and Mass. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your Bruins slots in a minute. We need to clean up today's edition of the Felger and Mass Big Board, which is such a powerful prognosticating tool for the NFL draft and the Patriots. It's sponsored. Our big board is brought to you by the Peterson School. The best in the trades are drafted from the Peterson School. PetersonSchool.com. Before we draft, we threw markers at corners and safeties, except I started on the wrong page, and we hit a linebacker. So we're going to pick three linebackers. We've already hit one, so you guys are each going to make one toss, okay? So we've already picked a linebacker, just to go back and refresh. That linebacker is Mac Wilson. Is a linebacker position a need?
I think so, in terms of depth. There's only so much Kyle Van Noy we can deal with.
No, not in terms of depth. Well, I mean, they have Dante Hightower, but I'd say linebacker's a big area of need. Who's the – I mean, do you believe in this Juwan Bentley?
He looked all right before he got hurt.
He did.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in him, but they could use a body there, no question about it.
I think they need youth and speed on defense.
Sure.
I mean, they need it in a lot of spots. So anyway, we've hit on one safety, page one safety, Mac Wilson from Alabama. He's a junior. He's 238 pounds.
Ooh, undersized.
Little on the undersized. realm, just under 6 feet two. This is the way we see it, according to the Pro Football Weekly draft prospectus. A third-year junior and one-year starter for the Crimson Tide, Wilson has very good size, speed, and athleticism. He shows awareness and sinks to proper depth and coverage, which I think they really value, where he's an asset. Adequate overall instincts, but reacts instead of anticipating. Impressive range and knows how to play the football in flight, Maz.
Ooh, that's good. Pass coverage linebacker.
Okay, which is exactly what they need. Best suited to play in a 3-4, but can be a Will or a Sam in a 4-3.
Oh, you got to love the guy who can move from Will to Sam.
Okay, versatility. So put Mac Wilson on the board, coached by Nick Saban. In the
yeah, can he play the mic?
Okay, so with it, you always got to look at the Saban guys, I think. So let's go to page two. We're each going to throw one marker for two more linebackers, and then we're going to call it a day on the big board.
Murray's got the slingshot
brought to you by the Peterson School. He's got his pocket rocket. Go ahead, Murray. That thing is freaking lethal, man.
It left a mark right by that guy's picture.
Perfect. Trey Lamar, T-R-E, tree, the tree, Trey Lamar from Clemson.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay, he is projected in the fourth round. Strong points, very good size, plays with bend.
Ooh, we like bend.
This magazine's big on bend.
Oh, huge on bend.
Strong and explosive, taking on blocks, aggressive tackler, makes a lot of plays in the run game. Speed.
Ooh, I like it.
Speed. Let's see if I can look. Is 40, is a 4.73 40 guy.
Does it say anything about his weight, height, weight?
The weight is 242, a little bigger.
All right.
Okay, so that's good speed and size combo. Weak points, many of the plays he makes are downfield, not at the line of scrimmage. More of a reactor than an anticipator.
Yeah, like a nuclear reactor.
And is often a step late getting to plays. That's not good. Not the most fluid guy in his pass drops. Plays too loose. Fast, but a bit tight in the hips.
Oh.
Tight hips. He and it slows his change of direction. Those tight hips prevent him from being quick in the change of direction department.
But if you want to tackle a ball carrier 7 yards down the field, he's the guy.
This is your guy. Okay, one more linebacker, and then that'll do it for the Felger Maz Big Board. Today, Maz, shoot well. Please don't hit my fingers.
Okay, this marker is green. Green.
Nice.
Oh,
Maz.
Wow.
That might have got the camera.
That left a mark.
Yeah.
So...
Mark, it was halfway down the right side, all the way to the right.
Okay, yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Another Wisconsin kid.
That's three Wisconsin players we've taken now?
Ryan Connolly. Instinctive and productive linebacker who might lack the traits to be more than a backup and special teamer at the NFL level.
Perfect. They love those guys.
They love them. Best versus the inside run because of his quick reactions, but lacks great speed to consistently stop plays to the perimeter. Gets adequate depth with his drops and has awareness. He is not even does not even have a projected round, so this might be a rookie free agent.
That's okay. We'll take that.
Okay, Ryan Connolly. Put him on the board. That will do it for the Felger Maz Big Board today. We continue with your Bruins thoughts in advance of Game 7 tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don't go anywhere. It's our long commercial-free segment next.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Maz. Bruins Game Day. Sports Hub.
I suspect it'll be better. I think some of it had to do with we're managing Celtics games with, so I assume, listen, I'm an agronomist. This is to do with a golf term and grass, but I don't know what the term for ice is. I don't know how much that affects it. The weather outside, I assume, affects. I know there's some construction. There's all those things. I guess the short answer, which is too late now, is I assume our crew will do their best they can to get it up to speed, given they've got a little better circumstances to work with, seeing the Celtics have clinched and we haven't been flipping the floor back and forth. So we'll see.
All right, a lot of chatter about the condition of the garden ice. Frankly, this is a story I don't really care about. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. The ice sucks.
Because they both have to play on the surface.
Okay, the ice sucks. It usually sucks here. It's never been good.
So it feels like this year has been worse than most, right? Like Columbus came in here and bitched about it about a month ago, whenever it was. And you know, now Marchand's bitching about it publicly. And I said this earlier today. I popped on in the midday show for a second when I got into the studio. I don't know. I mean, why is this year worse? I don't know. They've been digging holes under the building, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder about that. Like, is there more heat coming up from the ground?
Whatever it is, the ice sucks. I don't care what it is. I mean, I don't mean to dump on you or anything.
No, I understand.
Timmy the Tool Man over there, the home improvement hour, like, fine. It's whatever. It's the humidity. They leave the doors open. It's the construction. It's the Bruins. It's the Celtics. It's concerts. It's Cher. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm a geologist.
The ice sucks. It's always sucked. That should be even more excuse to simplify. Would you quit with the dipsy do dangle roo and like trying to
find the extra pass?
Would you just
cute? I hate it.
Get it in position and fire the puck and then crash the net.
So that's really the point, because that game five performance, holy smokes, it was like the ice capades out there, for crying out loud. You know, dingling around with that puck. Seriously, it's like just get it on net and go get it. Like, I really do think that the Bruins are best when they simplify. It's, you know, they are more skilled than we are accustomed to seeing over the course of their history. They play a different kind of game now. But let's not go too far with it.
Please. Please, put pressure on Anderson. Crash in that. Be, you know, simplified. The ice isn't good enough for you to dink around. But, you know, maybe it affects them more than it has in the past because they're skilled, as I would also say, because they're so dependent now on their power play. And, you know, that's passing and blah, 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 all that stuff. So, like, I get it, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's no excuse for either team.
The other thing is they had one of the best home records in the league this year. Right? The whole idea was, you know, how come it didn't show up then? And I understand it's in the spring, et cetera, the weather's warmer, all that nonsense. But the fact is, the conditions are the same for everybody. They're the same.
Okay, and saying that I don't want to hear about it, Richie North Quincy wants to talk about it. Go, Richie.
Hey, guys, love the hockey talk. With all the talk about the crappy ice, I decided to call on a buddy of mine who drove the Zamboni for years at the old garden near the new garden. And the ice sucks for a couple of reasons. One is because the garden doesn't have a dehumidifier system like a lot of the other arenas do, and it has nothing to suck the warm air out. In fact, in the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals, he was telling me that the Bruins rented one for about $1 million just to come in for the... Yeah, and the other thing is those Stanley Cup logos on the ice, those get painted on the ice, and then they have to put a few layers of ice on top of that, and nothing ever got skated on and roughed it up to give something for the new coach to adhere to. So that also...
Okay, Richie, that's enough. I can't do it anymore. This is exactly what I don't want. I don't want everyone calling in. If you want to do like a home improvement hour, and we could talk about all of our home improvements, and you can scratch that itch, let's do that on a podcast.
See, another thing is those logos, they emanate heat. They're wicked hot. So those turn to puddles, and those get tough when you try to skate over.
You people
them.
Want to talk about your backyard rink? We'll do a podcast, okay? And we'll talk about your backyard rink and the renting the dehumidifiers.
I think the logo's a neon, Felga. That's what I think the issue is.
They
neon.
Absolutely did rent I remember talking to Cam about it at the time. All right? So the ice sucks. I don't want to hear it. Joe in Pittsfield. Go ahead. What do you got for us, Joe?
It is muggy in here.
Well, here's my point, Mike. There's no excuses. I don't want to hear any excuses. I think the Bruins, like you said earlier, have to go to the net and shoot the puck, not be fancy, and go after them. No excuses. I don't want to hear it. This is their time.
No excuses.
This is their time to get an advantage and go ahead. Because the other
okay, and they've done a very little of this, of putting pressure on their D, which you can get to. But you've got to get, and it's, I hate saying because it's like hockey cliche 101, get pucks deep, get pucks low, get pucks on their D. But against this team, it's totally true, and they haven't done it enough. They've tried to make too many plays at the top of the circles, too many plays coming into the zone, as opposed to the old-fashioned thing, just getting it down low and then going to work on their D. They haven't done that nearly enough, and if the ice is going to suck, even more reason just to flip it down low and go pound somebody.
No question. Again, and I think they did more of it in the last game. That was one of the encouraging things to me, is that they were able to get the pucks, you know, deeper in the Toronto zone and then fight for the, you know, win the puck battles along the boards. Like, it's just, they're total cliches, but I think given the way this series is gone, it's absolutely true. They got to just simplify it, get the pucks to the net, and look for rebounds.
Colin in Boston, what do you got for us on the goaltending?
Hey, so Freddie Anderson in the first period of game sevens, goals against a flat 7 and a save percentage of 750. How bad is that? I suggest people get to their seats early tonight and don't miss a second on the first period.
Yes, and bring a poncho.
What does it do to the ice if someone craps on it?
Because Frederick Anderson and Tuukka Rask are going to be spraying mud all over the freaking Garden tonight.
Yeah, if Marchand thought it was the puck was bouncing on 2 days ago, 3 days
tonight's
ago,
it's going to be sticking.
Oh my gosh! Wait till tonight out there
again.
You're not going to be able to find the puck.
What were those numbers again?
He said a save per 7 goals in the first period of his 3 game sevens and a save percentage in the mid 700s.
Holy smokes. Again, Frederick Anderson, career game 7. 0-3 with a 4.51 goals against and a save percentage of 840. Oh, is that horrible? I mean, we started out with Rask's game 7s, which ain't no picnic either. 2-2 with a 3.72 goals against and an 845 save percentage. And the two wins were against his Toronto team, and only because the other goalie crapped himself worse than Rask crapped himself.
Right, and one of them was Anderson last year.
Only
Frederick Anderson in game 7 can make Tuukka look like Ken Dryden.
But both these guys, again, has Matt Cruz at the ready tonight at the Garden for these two. Wow. That first period goals against was something. Mike in the truck, what do you got?
I hate to say it because I like the guy, but if the Bruins lose tonight, or even if they win tonight and then they bow out again in the second round, do we need to start reevaluating the coaching ability of Bruce Cassidy? Because we all praised him when he took over for Julian, but they're not overachieving anymore. If anything, they're creeping up on underachieving.
Okay, so I'm all for the evaluation, Mike, and absolutely. If they lose tonight, it means they will have lost 3 of 4 playoff series under Bruce Cassidy. And you absolutely look at that, 100%. I tell you where I think I'm going to lean, that just because he overachieves in the regular season doesn't mean he's gagging in the postseason. In other words, since he's taken over, they have the second best regular season record in all of hockey. Do they have the second best record or roster in all of hockey?
No, definitely not.
Not even freaking close. I don't even think they're top 5 roster, especially when he took over. It's gotten a little better here in the last year or two. But when he took over and then to begin last year, no. I can, you know, 5 teams off the top of my head that are more talented are Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, Nashville, San Jose, maybe Vegas. I don't know. I just listed 7 teams. They are not the second best team in hockey talent-wise. Yet Cassidy has coached them up to that point in the regular season. So is that just because they overachieved then and now you get to the postseason and everyone tries hard and all the little advantages you get during the regular season wipe away because you're not getting those little night-to-night advantages? Everyone tries hard and everyone's getting coached up and all those things. It becomes more about talent. So does Bruce Cassidy set himself up to be an underachiever in the postseason because he makes his team better than they should be in the regular season?
I think there's some of that, yeah. I don't think there's any question. Again, just go back to the simple comparison we've made to Claude Julien. How many wet fart games did they have?
In the regular season under Claude, a ton.
Okay, but very few under this guy.
Very few.
It almost never happens. Almost never. They show up pretty much every night. I mean, you might be able to say over the course of a regular season, there's what, 3 or 4? Maybe 1 every 20 games, if that. And even that might be high. You know, they had one in the opener against Washington.
Yeah,
right.
They got
absolutely schwacked. But it's a few times a year.
Yep.
It's not 10. It's not 10 times a year.
So I think he's done a really good job. And I think that when I look at the playoff losses, Ottawa year one, they weren't ready. When he took over, they were out of the playoffs. And he coaches them into the playoffs, and they play an Ottawa team. Did that Ottawa team go to the conference finals?
I think that's right, yeah.
I think they did. Ottawa went on a run. They were really good that year.
Yeah, that was with Boucher as coach. And what's his name? Had a great series, Carlson.
Okay, then the next year they lost to Tampa, who's freaking loaded. We don't even have to debate that. And then this year, if they lose to Toronto, that's going to be frustrating. But the teams are dead even talent-wise. So I don't know. I don't feel like we'll look at it. No question about it. We'll look at Cassidy. But I can already feel which way I'm leaning on that one. They shouldn't have won as many regular season games as they've won. They're not that good. They're good, but they're not that good. They're not the second best team in the league.
Mike, they're the highest remaining seed in the playoffs.
Okay. The other coach, if you think the scrutiny on Cassidy is something, wait till you hear about the other coach. I have some numbers on Babcock that are going to knock your socks off. We'll give it to you right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.